Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We're back on No Filter Friday. We want to hear from you, 504-260-1870 on the Mortgage Financial phone and text line. Let's go to line one. We'll go to Mike. Mike, welcome to the show.
Afternoon, Noel. Happy Friday. Important guest you had on just recently. Appreciate the information. I was holding, I got caught up in the conversation you had with the guests on the 11 o'clock hour about the poll, yes. You know, with people's visions of American history and the age gap between, you know, some people over 40 and under 40, and then the conversation going on about, what, you know, topics in school, whatever. I agree with the age gap, but I disagree on where it's being taught at. I think it's not being taught that way. I think it's being self-taught. And, you know, when we have this conversation and we kept talking about slavery as part of the conversation, you know, we just had a funeral for John Lewis, who not 400 years ago, but 55 years ago, got his head cracked in crossing a bridge trying to get voting rights while hundreds of other people were on the other end of the bridge cheering the state troopers on. And those people had children. So we're not talking about 400 years ago. We're talking about 55 years ago. And my point about them having children and going back to that age gap and what we've been taught, and my point about being self-taught, I think the big difference isn't what's going on there. I think it's what we see. You know, there's a big gap for people my age group. I'm in my 50s. You know, I go back to, you know, MTV came on in 1981. The first black videos on MTV weren't until like 84. You know, and I was in the 80s. So even people my age, my experience with being familiar with what goes on in the black culture is a lot different than the younger generation who sees these videos now with social media the last 10, 15 years almost on a daily basis. So,
Mike, let me ask you something. Can I just ask you something right there? When you talk about MTV, you think that was racially motivated, or was that just a market-dominated strategy? I mean, you know, oftentimes we lose sight that there's one race that is a majority by a large amount, and that when you have a new product being rolled out, you know, you're trying to have it embraced, you know, by whether it be ethnic group, race, gender, or otherwise, by the largest proportion of the market that you're selling to. I don't know that that's necessarily racist.
No. I wasn't bringing up the fact that it was racist. I'm bringing up, in answer to your question, you know, to me, it's never been a black and white issue. It's a human issue. Regardless of whatever race you are, you're still a human being. We all have the tendency to do bad things to each other, regardless of the race is. It just happens to be who's in control at the particular time or the particular group that it happens. It's just a human problem. It's not a black and white issue. And to answer your question, you know, typically when these issues, when we're even talking about, you know, getting rid of Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben's and like you said about MTV, these aren't black or white issues. These are green issues. You're absolutely right. But my point wasn't a race issue. My point was my generation even in that part, we didn't see, you know, certain aspects of Black culture the way the younger generation now sees and it is more assimilated with Black culture because of social media and the changes, whatever. And then again, going back to social media on the things that they can see. We can see videos now from around the country almost on a daily basis of quote-unquote discrimination. You know, people screaming at each other in grocery stores, people, you know, regardless of what goes on with the police. But that's my point is I disagree with it being, you know, it being taught. It's being taught, but self-taught. And the big difference between the age gap, to me, is the fact that the younger generation sees more racism on a consistent basis than we did even growing up. And that was my point, is it wasn't that MTV was being racist. It was that even with that, I didn't see Black culture the same way I can see Black culture today. And that's my point.
When you say they tend to see it in what form? I mean, I find that very interesting because I think that they're, you know, there you see more ethnic crossover in dating and marriage, and you know, rate and same with race. It would seem to me that that in many respects that would be diminished. You know, one of the things in conversations that I've had with younger kids, college age kids, you know, when we talk about the fact that, you know, when a member of one race walks into a room and they're in the minority. Well, that's kind of how the country's broken up statistically. I mean, how do you change that? I mean, you know, when you're 72-73% white, the likelihood statistically of visiting any piece of geography in the United States, if you're of another race, you're going to be outnumbered.
Oh, absolutely, and that's my point. Is I think the difference, and I always try to bring up is the taught part. And you guys were having a conversation with what's being taught in schools and whatever. My point is,
I don't think they're teaching anything. I apologize for interrupting. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, sure. We've abandoned civics, we've abandoned history classes in large part. You know, I mean, in some schools, it's world history has taken it. You know. They've taken it out. In other schools, it's even been both world and American history. We don't talk about it at all. I mean, you can stop 100 people on the street and ask them what the 13 stripes on the American flag represent, and you're going to get a deer in the headlights look. They don't know what you're talking about, which I just right. find astonishing. I mean, you know, I mean,
even somebody in, you know, like I said, from my age group, okay, you know, I'm just for personal experience, I grew up, you know, around a lot of, grew up pretty much behind a Black neighborhood, and I had a lot of Black friends, even as a young person. And you know, my first experience being a middle class white kid at 14, 15 years old, when I started, you know, hanging out with more of my Black friends, and then I grew up in Miami. We went downtown to go shopping for shoes. And this was when the Metro Rail first was came up, and we were coming back, and it was 6-7 o'clock. It wasn't late. And we had bags of shoes, and we were sitting on the Metro Rail, and two cops, you know, at the time they didn't have Metro Rail cops. They had regular cops patrolling the Metro Rail, came up and sat behind of us, and then sat next to us and sat next to one of my friends. And basically sat there, started looking at the bag, took out his flashlight, tapped him on the head, and said, "Where'd you steal the shoes from, N-word?" That was one of my first experiences. My point is I told my parents about it, you know, and you know, and it was something that stuck with me for a long time, and I've had other experiences. But the difference is I could nowadays, it's on the phone. Nowadays, those things that I'm talking about, you can see now sure. on a consistent basis that we didn't see 40 years ago, and that's my point.
No, absolutely, and I would characterize that officer as an idiot then, now, or at any time. I mean, I worked in very diverse neighborhoods early on in my career, and my mantra was that I always thought that if I treated people with respect, they would treat me with respect in return. That's kind of changed, but at that time in the late 70s, when you know, my experience, and I don't have many negative experiences believing in that mantra, quite frankly. It served me well in my interactions out on the street. And, you know, and I've always said that, and I've always tried to deliver that in talking to the troops when I was the leader, is that we're not in the policing business, we're in the credibility business. And, you know, you, in order to hold your credibility, you got to make sure that you're treating people the way you want to be treated, plain and simple. It doesn't always work that way. It gets ugly because it requires two participants. And, you know, and you can't always guarantee that it'll happen from the other side. I appreciate the call, Mike. I'm up against a break. Thank you so much for calling in. Have a great weekend. We'll be right back after the break, folks. Stay with us. We're back on No Filter Friday. We'll go to line three, talk to Terrence. Terrence, welcome to the show.
Yeah. No, my problem is nobody ever taught the brutality of slavery. And when I hear people say, how does slavery affect you today? It still has a lingering effect on society today. And I don't think it's something we as a nation ever dealt with and ever reconciled with.
How would you propose that we reconcile with it?
First, you have to start with honesty. You know, they act as though the slaves was on the plantation, happy and just singing Negro spirituals and picking cotton. It was absolute brutality. The same problems you have in society. Within the master used to, they were pedophiles. They raped little boys and raped little girls. They brutalized those people. When you didn't pick a certain amount of cotton, you were brutalized every day. And for people to put this image of slavery like the slaves should have been happy because they had a hot cotton, a meal every day, that's some bull that we got to get rid of.
I don't know that I ever thought that that's how it was. But let me ask you this. You would agree that there were slave owners who were very egregious in their treatment, and there are those that were less egregious in their treatment. I wouldn't go so far ever as to say that any of them were, you know, totally interested in the safety and welfare of the folk, the persons that they owned at that time.
Right. You support my point. What is a less egregious slave owner? You holding another human being, and the only way you keep that slave in check is to brutalize him. So it's no such thing as a nice slave owner. Yeah, you may have gave him.
Well, I didn't say nice, but what I'm talking about is, those that were sexually abusing kids or otherwise. I don't believe for a moment that every slave owner did that. I don't believe that.
It doesn't matter.
No, I know it doesn't matter. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Brutality. It was human nature at its worst. It was you had another human being that the only way you ruled them was through brutality. So let's face that. Let's kind of come to grips with that. Let's look at the African American.
Why do you think that we've not come to grips with that? I mean, I never thought for a second that slaves sat around playing the banjo, smoking a corn pipe, and thinking that life was good. I mean, it wasn't the way that I was taught. I mean, I know how it was depicted in movies over time, but one place I don't look for truth is Hollywood. So, I mean,
But what it makes people feel uncomfortable. It makes people feel uncomfortable that their ancestors was a part of that. So I understand. So let's get over being uncomfortable. And if you talk about the United States,
isn't that a good thing? Don't you really want them to feel uncomfortable? You don't want them to be comfortable with it. I mean, if they feel uncomfortable with it, they're not necessarily aligning with that notion that was okay.
But that's the problem. People are still in denial and they don't want to talk about it. We never have an opportunity to talk about it. No.
I can only go by my personal experience, Terrence, and I've never talked to anybody that I know that denies the existence and the brutality of slavery. ever. I think intellectually, where the whole thing runs amok is, you know, what you were talking about is the recognition today, and how do we get beyond it? How do we move beyond it? And what is it going to ultimately take? Because you said it transcends into our time now. I apologize for having to break away, Terrence, but we went over time with the interview earlier, and I'm up against a break. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. We're back. Let's go back to the talk lines. Mary in Mid-City. Mary, welcome to the show.
Hi. I just got in on the last call, and I remembered something I wanted to share. I've been in some classes where professors and students have said, according to their bias, but supposedly they're being objective, that, say, the French were not as bad slave owners, or the British were not as bad, or the Portuguese were not as bad, or the Spanish were not. They, and, you know, we even had Germans on the German coast here who were slave owners. I don't think those things should be compared, because slavery is bad. It doesn't matter. There are, as you said, some individuals who were not so bad. You know, they were more compassionate. It was an institution.
Well, I never used the word compassionate, because I don't, you know, in many respects, I don't believe that that was out of compassion that they didn't, you know, rape the children. Okay.
I'm saying is that there were some, that it's sort of like, this is the thing that people did in those days in the South and in some other places. And so they weren't mercenary. They weren't really, really awful as many, as probably most of them were. But for people to say, oh, well, a certain group of Europeans were better than the other group of Europeans in slavery. I've had a professor to say that. I've heard a student say of a different race, a different European group, and I got mad and argued, but I was wrong. I should have just said that slavery across the board is bad. It doesn't matter which European group is in charge.
But isn't that a natural human tendency? I mean, I think, you know, the egregious nature of it creates a level of discomfort, right?
Correct.
I mean,
nobody, you know, wants to take, nobody wants to be accountable that their ancestors had slaves.
Yeah, I mean, if you have any empathy at all, I mean, you just don't go there. I don't see that as a negative thing, that there's a level of discomfort. It doesn't mean that we cannot be honest about the brutal nature of it. I get it, and we should. I still have a difficult time, though. I think sometimes we try to reach for a bridge too far on many of these things historically, and I think I'm accurate in saying there were more landowners at the time that didn't have slaves. They actually couldn't afford slaves, and so they didn't, than there were, as it related to landowners at the time, that actually had slaves. So I think on both sides of the aisle, we end up overreaching, overgeneralizing a lot of different things that actually existed at the time. I want to thank everybody for their participation today. Hope you had a great week. Scoot's up next. I know he'll have Free for All Friday. It'll be a great show. See you again on Monday.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.